窓から見たあの街がこの前停電したって会えなくなった人が暮らしてる誰かが隣を横切ったスピーカーの前に座ってた子そのベローチェに向かったってさ行こうかななんてとこさカットチェーンっていう方に目覚めた僕らが期待しているこのループカットチェーンっていう方に目覚めた僕らが期待しているこのループ誰かが海を渡ると全てが変わってく気がしてた彼女の週末最近はどうかな揺れたかななんてとこさなんてとこさなんてとこさなんてとこさなんてとこさ
We'll be right back. 背筋から指先へ肩越しから見透かせる I know you really want to me
I'm really wanting you baby
背筋から指先へ肩越しから見透かせる I know you really want to me
Thank you. ちゃんテイクオフしようぜ。手足の羽を持っている。見上げれば未来 More than God be ambitious。
作り笑顔とかなんかうまくできない、不器用でも毎日を楽しめる。恋人といる時間とても幸せ。終電とか数えると夢が覚めてく。抱きしめてね、寂しいその時だけは抱きしめてね。
That didn't start out right. Whatever. Good evening. Konbanwa. It's J-Pop vs. Metal. I'm Jim Haku. Had some technical difficulties. Had some personal problems. Haven't been here for, here in the realm of Eternal Midnight, for a couple weeks. Whatever. And you know, a few episodes ago, I said that, you know, you have to have a sense of humor about life and things that happen, and that was wrong. You know, existence is just a grim march towards the grave, and there's really nothing, there's no good way to look at it. So just keep that in mind, and let me tell you what you heard. Stereolab, at the very beginning of the show, going from the top, Golden Ball. Stereolab, not a metal band, that was not a metal song, but it was a song about a metallic object. And also, in Japanese, Golden Ball, Gintama, is a slang term for a non-metallic object. It's not vulgar. Don't have to put the explicit tag on this program. Just use that word. Hard to work into polite conversation. But I guess I just did it. Whatever. Stereolab just saw them live. That record from 1993, Transient Random Noise Bursts with Announcements, kind of has like a doomy tone to it. At least that song does, I thought. And has kind of like a Glenn Branca kind of thing going on with the guitars towards the end. Kind of has that mood to it. The other records do not have that mood at all. Do not seek out Stereolab for... Don't just buy any random Stereolab record expecting to hear that, to hear more of that. But you should, I don't know, they're a good band. When I bought that record, I bought that record in 94, I remember, because I also got into like an argument in the record store with my friend Bob, who could be out there. Praise Bob. Danzig 4 had just come out, and I had been looking for the Stereolab record. It's a few months, took a few months to find the record. The song Jenny Odinoline was played a lot on WPRB. This is like the classic. I really think this is the classic Stereolab albums. People seem to not agree with that anymore. But I stand my ground. I think this record is better than Danzig 4. First three Danzig records, maybe it's questionable. I think it goes toe-to-toe with the first three records. Definitely beats Danzig 4. Now, the argument had nothing to do with the sound of the record. It's that it looks like, it looks like the record you used to test your stereo. To be fair, it is actually literally the design. The design of the record is literally copied from a album. It's not an album, really. It's a test record that you put on to make sure your speakers are balanced. If you have a phonograph system with some nice big speakers, you gotta put on the test record, make sure everything is in balance. It's gotta be in phase and everything. You know? Do you know what I mean? Maybe not. But, and it even goes into the back cover, copies of the back cover of the record, all the descriptions of the song. Each song has technical jargon. It's the kind of attention to detail no one gives a shit about nowadays, but that is one of my favorite things from the 90s. And that segued very nicely into, there's also a weird, no one has ever, one thing I don't like about the 90s, I didn't like it then. I don't know how I felt about it then, but I don't like it now. There was just weird things on records, and like everyone was just like so cool that like no one mentioned it. Like that record has, like it skips, it sounds like they recorded the entire song to wax or like an acetate and then scratched the record. I don't know how they did that. And no one is interested in that kind of detail, because it's just like, cool, man, that happened. And there was like the Bjork record where they're performing live and she takes the microphone into the bathroom, and like no one thought that was strange. No one thought that was worth mentioning. Very weird. That's what the 90s were like. Anyway, Tenma, Tarakaga Tonariwo, from the Local Visions compilation, Local Visions is a record label out of Izumo. Izumo, Japan. That is way out in the country. Izumo, Shimane region. That's Shimane Prefecture. That it's like west of Kansai, north of Hiroshima. What else do I have here? Oh, that's for the next song. The next song was Morbid Angel with Chapel of Ghouls. R.I.P. Richard Brunel, second guitarist. I guess he was the rhythm guitarist on that record, Altars of Madness. And I guess he was, he was on Blessed Are the Sick as well. 1989, Altars of Madness. You heard the original version and the remix at the same time. Now, I thought the original CD, the CD version of that record came out on Earache. I have the download of the CD version, the original CD version, and it has the couple of remixes. And I think Slayer did that first. With Rain and Blood, when the CD for Rain and Blood came out, they put out some remixes of the songs because it's so short, some covers. They did a Judas Priest cover, whatever. You didn't hear that. That's a record, that's a song you didn't hear. You didn't hear Slayer, you heard Morbid Angel. I guess it was Morbid Angel versus Morbid Angel. And I never could figure out the difference. The Slayer remixes, it's like they made the guitar, they rearranged the song, they made the bass, I think the drums were louder, or the guitars were louder. It was different, you can hear the difference. This, I can never hear the difference, but I sat down, listened to them back to back. I was like, okay, well the solos are different. Okay, cool. I'll just play both, I'll just line them up in Adobe Audition. And then we'll have a song where both solos, you can hear both solos at the same time. But you know what? It doesn't match up. There's a little bit of, there's like a couple microseconds at the beginning difference. And then I tried to match those up as closely as possible. And you heard the remix in the left speaker and the original version in the right speaker. Totally hard panned it. And at the beginning, it sounds like it starts out together, and then there's like an echo. There's like a Steve Reich kind of effect. It's like an echo, and then by the end of the song, it's totally not matching up at all. There's like some very subtle editing, or it's like a different performance. I don't know what they did. And it's one of those things that no one talks about, because it's just, who cares? That's all I have about that. Nami Amuro, after that, Step With It, 2007, the Play album, obviously my favorite Nami Amuro album. I should play some other records from her. That song was produced by Michiko and Tikura. Michiko and Tikura production team featuring the LL Brothers. That was the male vocals on that track. Never even thought about it. Before I looked that up, I never even thought about the male singers in that track. It's like, yeah, those guy singers. Who cares? Who are they? I don't care. They're the LL Brothers. Gonna have to look up the LL Brothers, and we'll get back to that. Meshuggah after that. Combustion from Obzen 2008. Or is Obzine? Obzen. Meshuggah. Top grade A metal band from Sweden. One of the best metal bands. Not one of the best punsters. They're not not a good Obzen. It doesn't work. Whatever. Interesting thing about this. The Nami Amuro song and the Meshuggah song, if you were a very long time listener, I've brought this up before, but these two songs do a similar thing. And Nami Amuro, the song is a standard beat flip. What you think is the downbeat turns out to be the upbeat.
switches. It switches from the downbeat switches to the upbeat. And in the Meshuggah song, the downbeat is just somewhere. It's like somewhere when you. It sounds okay if the count in, the hi-hat count in was not there. You wouldn't think that much of it, but like the count in makes no sense. It's like between the beats of the. It's not even the upbeat or the downbeat, and the how they do it, typically is the guitar player writes the songs in the computer. He writes the drum tracks and everything. He writes all the music on the computer, and then the band learns it. So like he's just. Another the thing about this band, it's like, oh, people like to figure out different time signatures and everything. It's in 9:18. It's in like 7. It's like 7. It's in 7.5. Man, this song is in 7.5. It's sometimes it is. If it's a Tool song, it could be in 7.5. But Meshuggah actually writes. They actually write in 4/4 most of the time. I think part of the song was in 6, or it's like bar 4 and then bar 2. Whatever, but the way they accent it is what gives it that feel of the crazy time, shifting time signatures. It's actually written in 4, and then they're just placing these accents over the bars and everything. It's just very weird, and you can clearly hear it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't make intuitive sense, like musical sense. You wouldn't think of that. You wouldn't think of doing that, which is why. Time signatures exist. It makes it easier for the musician, but they do it in a computer, so they can just place those accents wherever they want. What the hell is this? Can I read my own handwriting? Perfume. Clockwork. Level 3, 2013. Perfume's Best Of just came out, and this song was not on it. It's an album track. They have a lot of good album tracks. I think starting with... Cosmic Explorer. I feel like the album tracks are better than the singles. I don't care for the singles as much, starting with that album. And then the B-sides. They have some B-sides. They have some album versions. I feel like the album version of Magic Love was much better than the single version. I have a lot of thoughts about the Perfume Best Of. We don't have to get into all of them. Maybe ever. Don't need to really go track by track. The perfect best stuff. It's obviously good. Naked City. John Zorn's experimental band. 1992. Torture Garden was the name of the album. Facelifter was the name of the song. I have the version from the black box. The artwork was censored. You couldn't sell the album in the store anymore. Don't have to get into that. Naked City. I wanted to play some Naked City because that was a band I got really into after Mr. Bungle. Did it sound like I dissed Mr. Bungle before when I mentioned Mr. Bungle? Because they're touring. I guess that was a band I got into in high school, and then I totally stopped listening to them altogether. Because I got into other bands, they're actually very inspired by John Zorn's Naked City. So I just started getting more into that. There's like the sense of humor of Mr. Bungle kind of wears out to me. I don't know. I can't really go back to those records. They're a little goofy. Come on. Obviously they're good musicians. But it's like, he does record himself like shitting on one of the songs. Yeah. Lyrically, not sure Mr. Bungle holds up. That's all I'm saying. Unlike Naked City, lyrically Naked City got, at the time, Yamatsuga Ai. Now he's Yamantaka. I don't know what he is anymore. He was Yamataka, then he was Yamantaka. I don't know. Yeah, lyrical genius. Ai Yamatsuga on this record. Of the Boredoms, obviously. Snail's House after that, Hop, Skip, Jump from Ordinary Songs. Number 4, I think that's new. I think that came out this year. Snail's House. Are they? Is that a Japanese guy? That's a Japanese producer, right? It's not an American producer. Could be. Maybe it's Canadian. Snail's House. Sounds like J-pop. Metallica. Jumping the Fire. Obviously from Kill 'Em All. It's a song about jumping into a fire, which you shouldn't do. Don't actually jump into a fire. Someone actually did that. Metallica played Jump in the Fire. A guy jumped. There was a bonfire going. Guy jumped in it. Don't be that guy. Don't literally take. Yeah, don't do it. Morning Musume. Ambitious. Yashinteki. The Ijin. Ijan. Yashinteki the Ijan. Ambition is good. 2006. Which ends the podcast ban on Hitomi Yoshizawa. Life goes on. People make mistakes. Nobody died. Nobody was killed by her reckless drunk driving, which we don't have to mention again. Life goes on. That song. I just watched the Tokyo Idols documentary on Netflix, which I recommend, but Morning Musume is not in because they're totally irrelevant at this point. But it really really makes a really good point about the difference between an idol band and a singing band, which is what Morning Musume started as, and they kind of went into the idol direction, and they're considered an idol band, but there really is a difference. If you watch that documentary, I think you will find there's a pretty stark difference between a singing group and an idol group. Even the girl, one girl says that she's an idol right now, but she wants to be a singer. That tells you something. Is that all I have to say? Maybe it is. Ambition. Oh yeah. Also, just in general, like these guys in this movie have kind of given up entirely on life, which I don't recommend. You just don't do that either. Don't jump in a fire. Don't give up entirely on life just to be a fan of something. It's too much. Watch the movie. I think you'll get it. And people, I don't know. People seem to obviously, if they're, I don't know. There's other issues going on there. Maybe we shouldn't. I don't even feel like bringing it up. You'll get it. You'll get. There's other issues going on with the guys in this movie, documentary. Obviously. But, you know, I'm not judging it. Different culture. Maybe not. You know, sometimes you've got to think, oh, like, am I totally correct on this? Is my interpretation of this completely correct? It might not be. You know what? Different culture. Also, I thought they should have interviewed. There are female fans of these groups. They didn't interview any of the female fans. I thought that was a mistake. They just kind of make it look like these guys are total weirdos. Well, the guys are total weirdos, but I don't know. It kind of makes it like that's the point. Like, these guys are so weird. Check out these guys, they're weird. Look at them. Look at them. They're weird. Check it out. Look at them. So weird. Listen to them. Listen to them talk. They're trying to explain this away. It's not working. They're so weird. You know? I don't know. Maybe talk to somebody else. Anyway. That's it. That's all I got for today. I think we're back on track. I feel like this is back on track. I do need a new theme song. I guess. Need a new theme song. Tap my foot. Yeah, the dog barking signals the end of the show. Jamata.